Hey, you want that to go?
That's right. We got your news takeouts this morning. And with us is Louise Story, our finance reporter from our partner, The New York Times, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Louise, okay, this is kind of big news, right? It turns out that the TARP bailout for Wall Street will be almost entirely paid back. The only thing they're thinking will be left out will be about $42 billion.
So this is what the Treasury Department is telling us, and they plan to broadcast this today. It was in the New York Times this morning, that instead of losing $341 billion, which is what they estimated in August they would lose,
right,
they think now they might just lose around $42 billion. So it's about $200 billion better than what they thought.
Which is actually pretty darn good.
It's all a matter of perspective. Of course, you know, if you're running an investment fund and you only lose $42 billion,
right,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But then again, if you thought all $700 billion of the bailout was going to be gone, then this is a lot better. So it's all kind of dependent on what you thought.
In terms of the budget, that kind of gives Congress $200 billion to play with, or no?
Well, that is the big question. So there's a number of Democrats in the House who are talking about using some of this paid back TARP money, the money that's come back from the banks, for something else, like job creation. You know, another thing one of my colleagues, Gretchen Morgenson, wrote yesterday about is the mortgage modification program is not working. And there's questions about could you use this money to help better modify mortgages.
Hang on, Louise. Because every time we come in here and talk about extra money or mortgages, you always come in and say, we need a new mortgage modification program. Every time.
Do you blame me?
No, I don't blame
you. What do you hear from
I don't blame you, but how realistic is it? I mean, because, it, you know, you've been saying that for like, what,
well, one
you know,
of the big one of the big problems, which my colleague Gretchen Morgenson highlighted, is that the program really just focuses on the first lien debt. You know, a lot of people have two loans. And the reason it didn't focus on the second lien debt, she points out as a possibility, is because the banks, which are the servicers, own the second lien debt, and they don't want to take this hit. You know, it could be $440 billion of this stuff that they don't want to write down.
Right.
And so there is a problem that there might be a conflict of interest in these servicers who are making the modifications,
right,
that they don't want to modify what they hold.
So maybe with this extra $200 billion, the
Congress
can
possibility.
Force them to move. We'll see. Thanks. Okay, that's Louise Story of the New York Times.
And we're still a long ways away from taxpayers getting any checks of profit away from TARP.
I think so.
All right, now it's time for our first religion takeout in the takeout section. We have Kevin Ekstrom, editor for the Religious News Service. Kevin, the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles had a landmark vote in the Anglican Church over the weekend, electing an openly gay woman as bishop. Is this vote going to be as controversial as the first time a gay bishop was chosen in New Hampshire, I think back in 2003?
It very likely could be, in part because what the Episcopal Church has done is basically defy the will of the larger Anglican Communion, headed by the Church of England, who have asked the American Church not to do this, and they've been very clear about that. And at first, the U.S. Church said, okay, fine, we won't. This summer, they said, actually, we might. And this weekend, they actually did.
They did. Now, we're talking about Mary Glasspool. She's been elected the second gay bishop in the Anglican Church and the first woman bishop, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so a gay woman and a woman. I guess that's two firsts there.
Which is the most controversial part.
It's hard to know which is the most controversial part. Well, the conservative wing of the Anglican Church, Kevin, was talking about a schism back when a gay bishop was elected in New Hampshire. So does this make it even more likely now, or is this more angry talk?
It's probably more likely. But the thing is that most of the people who were really upset about the gay bishop in 2003 have already left. So what you're left with now is a much more liberal church. The people who are going to be really upset about this, by and large, aren't here anymore. But there are still very angry people overseas in sister Anglican churches.
And mostly across the United States in the Episcopal Church there, people are more or less fine with it?
Well, I wouldn't say they're more or less fine with it, but you've got a much more liberal church now than you did 6 years ago. And this past summer when they met in Anaheim, they sent very clear messages by very strong majorities that they were going to be okay with this if it should happen.
Okay, well, somewhat of a schism already in place in the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles electing its first gay woman bishop, Mary Glasspool. Kevin Ekstrom from Religious News Service, thanks for joining us.
Okay, now time for sports. And Ibrahim, we have still two teams with perfect records, the Indiana Colts and the New Orleans Saints, kept it alive this weekend, though it was a tough going for the Saints.
Breeze throws, it's up for grabs, it's an interception, and then it's taken away by Robert Meacham. Meacham goes in for a touchdown.
What a crazy game, right, Ibrahim?
It was crazy. The Redskins lost 33-30 in overtime, and that's why I'll say the Redskins lost the game, and they had a chance to dethrone the undefeated New Orleans Saints.
Most respectable result they've had all season, the Redskins, I have to say,
even though they lost. The thing about this time in the season and what you're seeing is that the teams that, you know, early in the season, we talked about teams that were so far apart. Now you're seeing teams that have had much more difficult season in the beginning starting to play tougher, people getting into that playoff vibe, that playoff energy. And so that's when you start getting to the playoff picture. So the Saints win, and they're looking to run the table in NFC, because yesterday also Minnesota lost 30-17 to the Arizona Cardinals. Now, what that basically sets them up for is that now the Saints are in a position to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC.
Will the Colts start benching some of their better players, possibly they lead up to the playoffs?
And that also, because the closest to them is the Bengals and the Chargers at 9-3. Both of those teams are 9-3. So they can start benching some of their players. And they've said in the past that having an undefeated record is not a big deal for them.
Okay, so we've also seen some teams kind of fall apart, the Pittsburgh Steelers and some others. It's going to be interesting as we lead up to the playoffs.
Thanks. True.
That's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, the Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, we're going to give you a look at the top news stories during our agenda in just a few minutes.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.